Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakei, and the podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. Well, I've got a hodgepodge of things today. I never really know, Katie, whether people prefer one subject matter to get through the 15 minutes or so. I will say that most people tell me that my length of my podcasts are absolutely perfect. They're somewhere between 15 and 20 minutes, and considering most people have it on fast forward in some sort of capacity, that brings me down to 7 to 10 minutes. And as a dear friend of mine said, that's about all I can take of your dulcet tone. But your content is good. Katie just shares some statistics with me. I'm getting more 65-year-old plus. I said to Katie, maybe that's because I'm interacting with more old people and just telling about the podcast. But it's interesting because of the six top last year and this year so far, four of the six have been interviews that I've had, two with women, two with men. And the other two, interestingly enough, one was about taking responsibility, which is always a big theme for me. And then very close and akin is taking risk. And you can't really take risk without taking responsibility. So I thought it was interesting. We're going to continue to pursue bringing people on that people can relate to in their stories, and give them some confidence that there are other people going through that. And on that note, I was talking to a woman that I've just started coaching. You know, she was telling me that she went back to work early from maternity leave, you know, show them she was keen and eager and, you know, really dedicated to her career. And then she said, you know, in return for that, could I possibly take Fridays off? Because, like, I'm not due. So you guys are ahead of the game by 4 days. And I just like one, you know, so go back. And they went, group of all white guys, they went, no, you know, nobody takes Fridays off. And I said to her, you should have pre-negotiated, should have, like, I can't tell you the number of people that come to me after they've made the stupid mistake. It's kind of like, I better get an alarm. My house is robbed. No, like if you have a feeling that it's a stupid idea, or you have a feeling that you're just not quite settled on it, call me or call someone. And just say, can I just run by you, right? Can I just run by you? And I had that experience, but that woman I had just met. And I said to her, you know, I would have said to you, what you should have done is you should have gone back and said, listen, I know you guys are busy. I'd like to help out. I'm happy to come back early for maternity leave, but in exchange for that, I need Fridays off. And if that works, great. And if it doesn't, I'm just going to stay on maternity leave. And she goes, yeah, that would have been the right thing to do. She said, but God, I'd be afraid to do that. And I said, well, you weren't afraid to ask them for Fridays off after you basically gave them, you know, a shortened maternity leave. She goes, no, because, you know, I thought I'd given them something and they'd recognize it. And this goes back to, there's a general notion that people aren't going to take advantage of you. Bullshit. People will take advantage of you. And the worst part of it is it's not those that knowingly take advantage of you. It's those that actually don't realize that they're taking advantage of you. They're the most dangerous ones to you because they think they're being nice to you. They think they're helping you out. And unless you slap them across the head with a 2x4, bad joke given the current context of things going on, I mean metaphorically, they're not going to realize that. You know, they're just not going to realize that. Then I had another woman, dear, dear friend of mine, love her dearly, regular listener. So when you hear your story, you should feel dumb. You know, she called me about, she was making an introduction, but never crystallized with the person that asked her to make the introduction with what she would get paid. Because everybody should get paid on an introduction. Somehow, if you're making money, I should make a little bit of money. I'm making money, you should make a little bit of money. Everybody should make a little bit of money, right? Keeps everything on the up and up, nobody feeling like, oh, wow, Jim made a lot of money on that. I didn't get anything, you know, type of thing. And I mean it, real estate agents, everyone, you should pay referral fees, buy them a new car, do something, whatever it is, a new vase or something when someone refers someone to give you business. But anyways, I digress. Back to my friend. So she said, you know, the first meeting went really well and they're going to the second meeting. And I said, and you're pooched. You've given up all your leverage. You have nothing. So I said, you need to call today I know it's going to be uncomfortable. And you need to call today and say, listen, you know, one of the things we never did beforehand was to strike an agreement in the event that I found someone for you, how you would pay me. I said, more than likely, because I knew the other person as well, more than likely, he's going to say, well, you know, we'll figure it all out at the end. I don't like figuring everything out at the end, you know, because when someone says to me, we're going to figure it out at the end, the person that gets it in the end is me. I like to figure these things out in advance. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So I said to her, you know, you need to make that call and you need to say, no, we need to strike this deal now and understand the terms so that we can go forward. And when he probably tells you to go stick it, which he probably will, then you got to go to the person and introduce them and say, hey, listen, just to let you know, he's going to stiff me and it may endanger the deal. It may not, but we got to protect ourselves, right? We got to stop trying to be too nice. Stop hoping that the other person will recognize and, you know, sort of say, wow, you're really great. You know, here, let me give you that. No, nobody gives you anything you don't ask for. It just doesn't happen. And this paralyzing fear, I know you're afraid of getting the answer you don't want, but sometimes the answer you don't want is the answer you need. Sometimes the answer you don't want is the answer you need. This is not a replay. I'm saying it for a second time so that people really focus on it. Ask yourself the question, what's that question I'm afraid to ask because I'm afraid of the answer? I don't know what it is. I know what it is for me. I don't know what it is for Katie. I don't know what it is for other people. But whatever it is, chin yourself up, take a deep breath, and know that you will be better off having asked that question. You will no longer have that anxiety and that anguish going on inside of you internally. God, I just wish they'd recognize that I'm doing this, wish this, and I wish that. No room for wish. There is no room. There's only room for facts. And human beings deal better with facts. It creates a course of action. It makes us have to do something. Otherwise, we live in this perpetual state of anxiety of, God, I don't know, does anybody recognize, so on and so on. And like, just ask the question. Before you build yourself up, I mean, I have people that I've spent time with that, you know, just think that nobody is recognizing what they're doing. And they're right. Nobody is recognizing what they're doing because if they had, this person would be promoted. So it only leaves you to one of two conclusions. Either what you're doing is not incredibly valuable to them, or they don't think you're doing it particularly well, but in either case, there's a reason they're not noticing. It's not important to them, right? There's a reason behind everything that happens, consciously or subconsciously. I know people hope that it'll just somehow get better, right? And it just doesn't somehow get better. And the fact of the matter is, everybody in the world would be better off. The anxiety level of people would be down dramatically if they just asked the question they need to ask, right? Just ask the question. Think about people that pore over, oh, am I going to propose? Am I not going to propose? You know, or those types of things, right? Like just jump into the pool. Get the answer. Make that your goal this week. Make yourself a list of things that you need answers on. They may not have answers, but at least you've asked the question. Someone says, well, I don't have an answer to that question. Then you can say to them, well, do you know when you will have an answer to that question? And they may say, I don't know when I'll have an answer to that question. I may never have an answer to that question. And there's the answer to your question. But we want to get our questions answered. As I always say, fear is gripping and paralyzing. And the only thing that gets you out of that, it's not going to be luck. It's not going to be what you want. It's not going to be all those things. It's going to be asking the question. And if you don't want to ask the question, then stop vexing yourself all over the whole thing. Just recognize that you don't want to ask the question. It's fine. So why am I getting myself into this sort of mental and physical state? And I got to tell you, I mean, I see it all the time with all of the people that I coach. And there's so much anxiety in people not knowing, right? And so the managers that I coach, the leaders that I coach, I coach them to understand that truth and transparency with the people that report to them, letting them know where they stand with you, letting them know how you feel about them, letting them know how you feel about their work, letting them know how they can improve on the things they do well, getting them things that they suck at away from them makes them more productive, makes them physically and mentally healthier. And that's our role, right? I see that as my role in coaching. As I've said, my job is to make people better. Better encompasses a pretty wide spectrum, but to make them better. And people that are managing people, that should be their role, especially in this day and age when the number of job vacancies is probably at an all-time high. Everybody's looking for everybody. The AI world hasn't come fast enough that they don't need 30,000 employees at the firm and everything else. But as I said, I'm in Texas now, and every day, every street corner, every company, hiring, hiring, hiring. More articles every single day on LinkedIn, everywhere else about the great resignation. Where are all the people? This is a prime opportunity for immigration, right? If we don't have the people in our country, in Canada, the United States, to do all of the jobs, then we should just be opening up the doors, bringing these people in, vetting them legally and everything else, and saying, you know, here, you can go to Dallas, you can go to Wichita, you can go to Kansas. You know, this is where we need you. This is where your visa is for the next 3 years or 4 years. Most of these people, like my family, would have been happy to go anywhere, right? Given all that they're coming from. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about, I had this conversation with one of my clients because I'd noticed the last several hires that they'd made in very high profile jobs, both were diverse men, but both were men. And in both jobs, they were fields where they could find talented women. And I said to them, and they don't use me for recruiting on this stuff, and I get it because it's big board stuff and things like that, and need a bona fide name to sort of stamp it and everything else. And I said, you know, I'm reminded of a situation. I said, Bob Diamond at Barclays, he built Barclays with a good friend of mine, Tom Kalaris. And, you know, it's easy to talk about things. You know, we want our diversity to be, you know, 50% women or gender diversity and racial diversity. Easy to talk about those things. But at the end of the day, money talks and bullshit walks. And the thing about Bob and Tom was that money talked, right? And they had an excellent relationship with all of the recruiting people. And they saw them as partners. They didn't see them as an expense. And they recognized that if we pay, I think the number was 25% commission to a recruiter, and we don't give them any incentive, that the largest pool of people is white guys. And why would they spend more time seeking diverse candidates? And what they did, and I've never, ever seen anybody else do it, is they put their money where their mouth is. And they said, we will pay you 25% for basically non-racial, non-gender diversity. But if you bring us a candidate that is racially diverse and gender diverse, we'll pay you an extra 8% on top of that. 33% versus 25. That's serious doti-voti, folks. You know, that's not just chump change. And if you walk through their offices, it was incredible, the diversity in their office. They didn't have any trouble finding them because they incentivized the people working on their behalf to do something different. So it's about the incentives. If you want someone to perform differently, incentivize them differently. Not just about gender and race hiring, but about anything else in the world. You can't pay the same amount and expect a different result from people. Bob knew that, Tom knew that. And as a result of that, I mean, the recruiters loved them, right? But it changed the way they went about recruiting. And they didn't see it as an expense because they saw it as an investment so that no one else was doing it. So their advantage was all the people who were recruiting for them were going to bring their best diverse candidates, best gender diversity candidates to them because nobody else was paying the extra commission. So why would they show them to someone else? So they had the pick of the litter first and foremost. And it was absolutely amazing to see the diversity of the place. And it was absolutely brilliant of both Bob and Tom to have accomplished that. So that's a lot for this week. You know, Katie, I didn't think I had anything, but I sort of kind of stuff really sort of resonated with me. So just to recap, take hold of, you know, going back to that narcissistic thing, right? Take hold of recognizing you have to take care of yourself. And then the big question for the week is, what question are you afraid to ask? What's the answer you're afraid to get? And I want you to get the answer this week. I want you to be bold. I want you to go in and I want you to say, you know, I've had this nagging question in my mind for 1, 2, 3 weeks, a month, 6 months or whatever. And I really need to get the answer to it. And at this point, you can actually say I'm agnostic to one way or the other, but it's making me crazy that I don't have the answer to the question. So that's what I want you to do. We are going to get the answers to the questions that are haunting us, are creating anxiety. And I don't care if it's asking someone to marry you. I don't care if it's for a raise, but we get the questions answered. I'm Jim Bakei. The podcast is Be You. The world will adjust.